Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I saw a comic where a pastor was standing up here and there was his suitcase was behind him and his words were, "I've been wanting to say this for a long time now." But that's not one of those things. Actually, no, I do want to say these things. I'm encouraged to say these things. Okay, I think it'd just be great if I just jumped into a scripture I just want to share. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast." A very similar verse comes from Romans 11:6 and puts it this way: "Now, if by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace." And there's two things about grace that, through my years of following Jesus, have been made more and more apparent to me. And the first truth is actually a line from a song. I forget what the song is. Jamie, I know you know. But it's the line, "Grace requires nothing of me." In order to receive God's grace, or any kind of grace, there is nothing, it requires nothing. Otherwise, it's no longer grace. Grace is not grace if I have to do something, be something, in order to receive it. But on the other hand, the other truth about grace is grace also demands everything. In the sense of the quote from Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." You've been called by grace, but there is something about that that bids us to come and surrender, die, lay everything on the altar, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. I have been a striver my entire life. Ever since I was a kid, I have strived for so many things. And so, coming to Jesus, the idea of grace, although I understood it intellectually, you know how, you know, there's these truths of Scripture that you get here, but you don't really experience here or get here? So I understood grace intellectually, but it was very foreign to me experientially. Both the experience of grace, but also even offering myself grace. And I know therapists would probably tell me that, and some of them did, that some of it comes from, you know, being a child of divorce and my parents divorcing, my dad leaving. Some of it maybe comes from this lack of verbal encouragement in my life as I grew up, as a young man, the kind that every young person yearns for. So I came into adult life desperately wanting to prove myself.
to say, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of grace. I'm worthy of praise. I'm worthy of whatever. I had to prove myself, and it made me a striver. And I was hard on myself, so hard on myself. And I still am many times when I didn't meet my absolutely unattainable expectations for myself. This striving has been a source of stress for me my entire life. It has been a source of stress for those close to me as well. And that sense of striving, I know, is potentially disastrous as a pastor. So originally, when I entered ministry life as this young man in my early 20s who was lacking or felt like I was lacking something, right? And so I entered into pastoral ministry, and I just yearned for church success and a good reputation. Just really, really wanted it. And sure, at the time, I was really good at sort of fooling myself, and I couched it in very holy terms. I want to see God's kingdom come in power, right? I want to see the church grow. The church that I'm pastoring, I mean, grow. But in reality, a lot of that desire, I mean, yes, there was good desire there, but a lot of that desire was also quite self-centered. And then one day in my early 30s, or so, I preached a sermon to a church I was pastoring, and the sermon was about idols. And I'm not normally, like, I'm not a person as a speaker. I don't normally do a lot of altar calls, which I know is probably a terrible thing for a Pentecostal to say, but I don't. But that Sunday, for some reason, I just felt compelled to give some sort of altar call. And I myself was the first one to the altar. And it's one of those moments, I don't know if you have ever experienced them, where you bend your head to pray, you know, and the church is full of people. And I kid you not, I looked up when I was done, and it was completely empty. Like, it was just, everyone was downstairs fellowshipping and having coffee and, you know, muffins and stuff, and I was all alone there. But so I guess there a lot more time went by than I thought. And so, I don't want to lose my spot here. And so in that altar time, God confronted me about my idol of my reputation. In that the desire for a good reputation, for success in the eyes of people, took precedence over everything. And he challenged me. Now, he didn't speak these words audibly, but these are the words I heard in my heart, and I'm quoting to you. He said, I felt like God say, "Nick, are you willing to look like a fool in the eyes of everyone in order to follow me?" That was the question. And that's what I wrestled with for so long. And that's why everyone left, because I was just like, I was really wrestling with God in that moment. And at the end of that wrestling, I said, yes, I am willing to look like a fool in the eyes of everyone in order to follow you. 3 months later, my wife told me she's leaving me. Well, there goes my pastoral reputation. Nothing kills a pastor's reputation like a divorce. And if ever someone needed grace at that moment, it was, or if I ever needed grace, it was definitely at that moment. Because there was I felt like I would see people that I knew, and you know where they kind of like, they know what you've gone through, but they're just like, oh, hey, and all of a sudden, it's just very shallow talk. There's nothing. They don't really want to enter into your brokenness. They don't really. They feel like you're a little bit of a leper kind of thing. And I should be going around telling people how unclean I am because I had a divorce as a pastor. And so this desire for a reputation and this desire for success was completely halted, disrupted by going through a divorce, by going through a marital breakdown as a pastor. But I look back now and I can say in many ways that actually saved me from ruin because it woke me up to the spiritual life I was living. And there are times that you and I go through terrible, terrible suffering. And we look back years later and say, oh my goodness, that was like, that completely altered my life. And there is something good in my life today because of what I went through then. And since that time, I've learned what, I feel like I've learned what success is and what success isn't. And it feels strange, like, this is probably the only time, oh, I know, I've never said it before, it's probably the only time I ever will say it, so, because I'm such a harsh critic on myself, but I feel like, in some ways, I'm leaving Steveson a success. And not because, you know, the church grew tenfold. Not because there was like, I don't know, we own our own building now or anything. Like none of those things are true. We don't. But we don't yet. I feel like God is saying, well done, Nick, because simply I've been faithful to the call of God to shepherd and teach and love, and care for a tiny flock of 25 people for 12 years. And that's enough. It doesn't matter whether the call, you feel like the call is a big call or a small call. It's just don't give up. That's what makes you a success. I didn't quit. And I felt like quitting. In 12 years, I have felt like quitting several times. But I just felt God say, don't. Continue to love this flock of people. Continue to love this village of people in Steveson. And I know that these past 12 years are the result of grace. Because I didn't earn it. I certainly didn't deserve it. I've got nothing to boast about. Like I said, the only thing I did was not quit. And let God do whatever he wanted to. And then 6 months ago, God said, time to go. Jamie and I, we came to Steveson 12 years ago, and we were looking for a new thing. But it turned out it wasn't a new thing. It was actually a stuck thing, an old thing. And it didn't want to change and become a new thing 12 years ago. And that led Jamie and I to the place probably about 3 years in was the first time I thought, maybe it's time to go, because we're trying here and nothing seems to be shifting. And then I read that the parable, I forget where it's from, and it's where Jesus tells a story and there's a fig tree that the owner says, for 3 years I've had this fig tree, there's no fruit, there's nothing, it's time to chop it down. And then the gardener says, no, wait. Give it one more year. Let me tend to its roots. Let me tend to the soil. And then let's see what happens. And that really spoke to me. And so Jamie and I said, okay, we'll give it one more year. And we'll see what God does in this next year. And what God did was you guys, was Ladner. We, after 3.5, 4 years, we Steveson merged with Ladner. And in some ways, Ladner, you became like a bird or a parent that just surrounds the young one with protection and stability. And you gave Steveson the foundation and the safety to become a new thing. And we began to shift and experiment, and we are today a new thing. Jamie and I have said, like, this is the kind of church we have dreamed of for years. It's a kind of church. Steveson was a kind of church where this is where we would attend if we didn't even have to be here. This wouldn't have happened without Ladner. And the reason, I feel very confident in saying this, the reason there is a vibrant church ministry in the heart of Steveson Village is because of you. Your support, your encouragement, your help, for which I'm incredibly thankful. And I know some of you were like, yes! And some of you were like, wait, what? I know it's been difficult for some. 8 years ago, suddenly you had brothers and sisters in the local church family that weren't there before. Like, one day it wasn't, and one day it was. And it wasn't a natural birth from at the time, Ladner Christian Fellowship. Didn't come from your own body. It was like the blending of two distinct and previously independent families. And for some, I know it's hard. It was hard. It has been hard to see Steveson doing different things and sometimes very non-traditional things in order to reach people for Jesus and to help people grow. But the support never wavered. Even when it was hard, the support stayed. And I think that is in large part due to the very wise and excellent and forward-thinking people that Ladner has in church leadership. In the last 8 years, the board of Lighthouse Church has been the best board I've ever worked with in all my pastoral career. And I think the reason the board is the way it is, is also due in large part to Danny, who guides this church with incredible dexterity and leadership and wisdom and a deep love for Jesus and a passion to see people flourish under God's grace. And I do wonder at times, church, if you realize how lucky you are for Pastor Danny. He's humble. He knows, and Humility isn't like a, like in general, humility isn't people saying, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. Humility is just being very honest with both your strengths and your limitations, right? If we have an honest view of ourselves, that's humility. Danny knows his strengths, and he knows his limitations, and he knows he welcomes support and limitations, and he offers support in his strengths. Never once in 8 years have I seen this man angry. I've never seen him worry, and I've never seen him anxious in 8 years. I don't know if he's felt those things, but he certainly hasn't brought it across to the staff or the board or the church. And then we have Evan, who, when he was a Bible college student, interned with me at Stevenson. He was my intern before I ever came. In fact, I think I connected you to Ladner. No. I meant to get a job after school. Yeah. Yes. No. I think I recommended, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is just not me being humble because I'm being inaccurate. I don't know. But I think I recommended Evan to Danny when the time came. And so, you know, I've known Evan. Actually, I say he interned with me. I met Evan when he was 2.5 years old because when I was running an out-of-school care in White Rock, he, as a 2.5-year-old, attended the daycare in White Rock. That's the first time I met Evan. So, I don't have pictures. But one of the things I have just delighted with Evan is that since the day I met him as not maybe as a 2.5-year-old, but as since the day I met him as an intern, he has had the best, most incredible attitude. He is kind, he is funny, and he is always, always willing to say yes when you ask him to help. I've never heard him say no. I've never heard him say, I can't, or I can't right now. I've always heard him say, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. So it's great. Like, the pastoral staff is great. The support staff, right? Sharon, Jill, Brittany, Sergio, great. The daycare staff, led, well, at one time by Merrill, now by Amy, great. Like, church, you are so blessed with the people who are doing the ministry work of equipping you for the work of the ministry. So, a couple other things. As we leave for Tofino, I do want to thank you for all that you have done for me and Jamie. I want to encourage you to continue your journey because God is calling this church also toward a new thing. Something amazing, which will require leaning into prayer. And I know pastors say this all the time. Oh, you got to pray. We have to make sure we pray. But it is true. As a church, we will go nowhere without prayer. Or we might go somewhere, go places without prayer in our own strength with a great cost of personal striving. Right? But we won't go where God wants us to go without prayer. And yes, we pray for the things we're doing or that we want to do. Praying for activity is very crucial, but we also need to pray about identity, who we are in Christ, the kind of spirit he wants us to display to the world. And beyond that hope for, I'm praying so that stuff will happen, prayer accomplishes two very lesser known but incredibly important things that I just want to pass on to you as my final word. And one of those things is prayer helps us to awaken. Matthew chapter 4, we read, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth and left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God had said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Those last words, those last six words, that is the core message of Jesus in the Gospels. The core message of Jesus is not get saved so you can go to heaven one day. That is not what Jesus preached. Therefore, as a church, it is not what we should preach. It's not our first go-to statement. The core message of Jesus is the kingdom of God is near. It is near to us today, and we must awaken to its presence. We experience God today. We experience his kingdom today. We experience salvation today. And when we think about, well, who needs to awaken? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus, so of course I'm awake. And yes, there are times where this call to awaken, it goes out to people like who don't follow Jesus, like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. But most of the times, that call to awake is spoken in Scripture. It is spoken to God's people. The prophets Joel, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Isaiah all tell Israel to wake up. The letter to the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 says to the church, it's time to wake up. The psalmist, we actually sang this in the first song. The psalmist speaks to himself in Psalm 57:8, and he says, awake, my whole being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. And not just awaken, but Jesus says in Matthew 24, stay awake, which implies we can fall back asleep. And the reason we have to be awakened, spiritually awakened, is because we want to be awake and alert to see God. Because God comes unexpectedly. He is the God of new things. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm doing a new thing. Paul, Philippians 3, I forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. We don't want to miss what God is doing because we weren't awake enough, alert enough, to recognize him at work. And when we think we got it all figured out, when we think we know, when we have God all figured out, that's actually when we're most asleep. And we miss God's presence because we say, God, I got it figured out. He's this. And God says, I got a new thing right here. Can you see it? No, God's this. But I'm doing something here. Can you perceive it? And you might ask, well, how do we awaken? Well, here's the thing. This is a quote from Carl McColeman. Spiritual awakening is a gift we receive. It's not a goal we attain. We do not summon spiritual awakening like a blind woman would summon her guide dog. That's what he says. So it is a gift that comes to us, what starts with us yearning to be awake, which is why we pray. Because prayer helps us stay alert to the presence of God and awakened to what he's doing in this world, in this village, in this church. And the other thing that prayer helps us do is prayer helps us to stay patient. When you pray, you can be patient. This is what we've learned in Stevenson. I've been there 12 years, and I'm not kidding when I say this. It took us almost 10 years to see the visible fruit we started praying for in year one. 10 years. I've told this story before, but like in our first year, Jamie and I did a lot of prayer walking, and there was a certain building. Every time we went by, we would lay hands on the building and say, God, this is a great building for a church. Will you please give it to us? It took 7 years, and we walked into the Nika building, which is where we are today. What if we had given up praying after 6 years? Said, not going to happen. Move on. What if we had signed a lease somewhere else? We would have missed what God wants to do. But when you pray, you can stay patient. So, back to grace. You and I, we don't make stuff happen. God makes it happen. You and I simply awaken to where God is at work, and we join him there. And we wait patiently for God's hand to move upon a person, or a church, or a village, or a community, or a deep need that we have been praying for. And so just as I wrap up, just want to share a little bit about what, like, why we're going. I said we felt that 6 months ago we felt it was time to leave. And you might say, well, why? Why are we leaving? And what are we going to be doing? We are confident that what God brought us to Stevenson for has been accomplished. And we're also confident that what Stevenson needs in the future lies in the hands of other people, including Darren and Krista, who remain there even as Jamie and I go. There is a next season for Stevenson, and there is a next season for Jamie and myself. And for us, for Jamie and myself, we are so very, very passionate about seeing Christ formed in people. We want to see Christ formed in people wherever we go. We feel passionate about bringing the love of Jesus to places without much of a church presence. When we first came to Stevenson, there was a United Church, and then there was Stevenson Christian Fellowship, which was the church name that, no, Stevenson Christian Church. Sorry, I got over the Ladner Christian Fellowship. Stevenson Christian Church, SCC, that was there. That's it. Stevenson has 25,000 people. And that's all the presence that was there. Where we're going to has even less of a church presence than Stevenson did when we first went to Stevenson. As some of you know, Jamie and I, we started a ministry a few years ago that we've slowly been working on called The Wild Way. And the big call we feel, more than, like, as well as taking the love of Jesus to Tofino, is to pour ourselves into this ministry, the Wild Way. And our guiding statement is Christ formed in you for the sake of others. That's what we want to do. Christ formed in you, but not just for you, for the sake of others, right? And so we create like discipleship material and spiritual formation material, which is simply practices that help Christ be formed in us, that help us listen to and obey Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might not know this, but you already know this. Because if you've gone through Rhythms of Life, that's something that Jamie and I wrote as through The Wild Way, to help Christ be formed in people. During the pandemic, if you did the Reclaim Sabbath retreat, it was something that Jamie and I worked on. The do-it-yourself retreat. The devotional emails, if you get that weekly email. All sorts of stuff. But what we're doing in the new year is we're going to start a slow journey through John, which is going to be a daily 10-minute podcast where you listen to a couple verses from John, you learn about something, you reflect and pray on what you're learning, and then you walk away, how I can apply this to my life today as I go out today. We're hoping it's going to take about a year to go through. That's why it's a slow journey through John. We're going to have a weekly teaching podcast. We're hoping maybe to do a devotional book based on some of those emails that have been sent out, retreats, discipleship coaching for churches. So that's one thing. The second thing we're doing at the Wild Way is Wild Way parishes, which are, we want to plant and nurture and coach a network of house churches, micro churches, house groups that are neighborhood focused and looking to build a compassionate presence of Jesus in the neighborhood for neighborhood transformation. So some of these are going to be independent. Some of these are going to be connected with churches in the area. Like, who knows? Maybe some will be connected with Lighthouse. And then, like I said, lastly, Wild Way, Tofino. That's the first wild parish we're going to plant is in Tofino. And the second one's going to be online, I think. But we are looking to bring the love of Christ to Tofino. We're looking to do Luminous in Tofino. Like, it is something for Danny and I to stand up here and talk about Luminous, right? And say, hey, let's do this. Let's try this. We think it's going to work. But if it doesn't work, then why are we talking about it? And I don't think there's ever been a chance to really put your money where your mouth is and test out something than to go to a place where there's no Christian presence and say, okay, we are going to try and live out Luminous here and see what happens. And so maybe, who knows? Maybe in a year we'll come back and say, it really works. Maybe we'll say, time for a new curriculum. No, it works. I know it works. But that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to say, hey, we have talked about it a long time. We've lived it out as best we can in Stevenson, but now we think we got to really, like, really test it out in a place that has no church presence or very little church presence. And so our only goal for the first year of being there is simply to pray and offer hospitality. We're not looking to start anything. We just want to pray for the place, offer hospitality to whoever crosses our path, and see what comes out of that. And we would invite you to partner with us if you are in one of three ways. Number one is simply to participate. Maybe you want to listen to those podcasts. Maybe you want to start a parish, like a home group in your own neighborhood. You can also pray. I've just said how much we need prayer. So the second thing is pray. And then the last thing, of course, is support. If you feel called to, if any of these things, the idea of spiritual formation, discipleship material, or a network of house churches growing, or like specifically a call for Tofino, we would love to connect with you about that. I wrap up with this verse before we start with communion. So maybe, yes, thank you. There you are. My final words to you as a preacher, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people who are rich, his rich and glorious inheritance. Those three words, that was so much on my heart for you. May you be flooded with light. Today, tomorrow, moving on into September, may you be flooded with light. So as the worship team comes, we're going to begin to pass out communion emblems, because I asked Danny if it would just be like the last act I can do would be for us to lead communion together and with you. So we'll come back in a second.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.